Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. And it's very nice to have you with us on this Tuesday morning, a brisk fall day for this late October. And it's very nice to have everyone with us. Let me introduce the panel. First of all, everything seems right today.
Does it?
Yes. Well, Dave Hopper's back.
Oh, yeah, Dave's back. Congratulations
back
to Dave.
Got married.
Yeah.
Oh. Mazel tov, Dave.
Yes, and so with us. And so everything seems right. So I look over, and the person who has always been there is there. So that's
right.
Good. I like that.
I understand.
Yeah.
So it's like when you come to work in the morning at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the car drives itself. Then somebody else goes over to Great Barrington. I say, it takes forever to get there. I say, no, it doesn't. It takes about 2 minutes.
Because your mind,
regularity.
You're on a different journey.
Be careful driving at 2 a.m. Central Avenue.
Man
thinks he has a drone.
Yeah, but when I would go to Buffalo, you know, it was like, because I'd go every month, it was I was there.
If you had a choice, if you had to run into a skunk or a deer, in other words, you had to run into a skunk or deer.
I love these kind of questions.
Skunk.
Oh, I think skunk.
Skunk?
Skunk. Skunk.
Yeah. Well, because they don't do the car damage.
But you stink for the rest of the day.
Yeah, but...
Yeah,
just open the windows.
That's like running into a kitchen table. You know, that's a hard thing.
By the way, save your letters. How dare you?
Right.
Right.
Love animals.
I want them all to live.
My son always did this as a kid. If a tiger and a blue whale got into a fight, who would win?
No, but that's why I said if it was preordained and you had to run into one of them.
Yes.
That's why. Okay.
Yes.
Who were you introducing people?
I was going to introduce people. I think everyone has said a piece, but that's fine. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is back, and we're delighted to have her. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter.
Hello.
Hello.
Briefly. Yes.
Hello. You're here today, gone tomorrow. That's all right. Here today. And here tomorrow, political consultant, and later in the week, Libby Post is here with us.
Hi. It's going to be 70-something degrees today, so the brisk is not going to last right now.
70? Oh, that's lovely.
Because right
that's
now,
true.
It's like a nice fall day.
Didn't you say
we were going to get snow?
That's what I heard. David Gustina told me that
on Friday
or Saturday there would be a coating of snow.
A coating.
That's not...
And, of course, WAMC's Alan Chartok at the head of our roundtable, and we thank you very much for
that's so kind
for being
of you.
With us.
So untrue.
You're leading the pack.
I'm sitting here in the dark.
All right. let's talk. I have to say.
Like a mushroom.
You know, there's those things that get you out of bed in the morning, you know, that you're just excited about.
Yeah.
I could not wait to hear what Rosemary had to say about the nurse in the parking lot of the New Jersey hospital.
Yeah, that was
I was actually listening to the news yesterday and thinking, oh, I wish you were on the show, because I have an unusual take on this. I do not empathize with that whiny nurse. What a jerk.
Okay, now see, now is not what I thought. This is why I love you, because I had no idea where... Okay.
I'm sorry. The hospitals and CDC handled it when the situation was in Texas. Did they not totally screw it up? And so now we have two governors coming for... I don't care if they're doing it for politics. They're doing what governors are supposed to do, protecting the population. And they go, look, we have a situation here. We need to put her in isolation. She had a temperature. She's now whining and saying, oh, it was a bad instrument. So what are you going to do every time? I don't trust that it's a bad instrument. I think they did totally the right thing. And, okay, she was bored because it's in a tent and, you know, she didn't have
it's
a
cold.
TV.
Excuse me.
Give her a book.
She was in a tent without
a book.
That's not what
Get
you do for somebody with
I
a
mean,
fever.
This is
if
a
they
woman
had
who
a
was
fever.
In, it was in West Africa helping people with Ebola.
Without
she knows
TV,
what it
so
could do.
So now she would like us.
So come here and do your part for a little while.
We've been criticized many times for talking over each other.
Oh, this is true.
So
sorry.
One at a time.
Okay.
Okay, I thought
yes,
I had
teacher.
The floor. I didn't even
you
hear
You did
her.
Have the floor.
I didn't even hear
Libby
her.
Libby was the interrupter.
Yes. I didn't even hear her. Okay. But
I really wasn't paying attention,
now,
so that's okay.
Okay, here's what I understand what you're saying. My question to you is that here is a woman, as you rightly pointed out, has gone over to help Ebola patients.
Correct.
So now to say that she's whiny.
Oh, terribly whiny.
Oh, get out.
oh, it's so mean. Oh, it should just be, oh, it's going to make people more afraid that they put us. We're being punished for what seems like a very sensible plan to me. Yes, it is heavy-handed. But this is kind of a serious thing.
Even the CDC said this wasn't the right way to handle it.
Of course, the CDC didn't want to handle it rather than the governors. And they did a terrible job in Texas, and I don't think they deserve to handle it.
So Ray just, and then I'm interested in Alan's take on this, but Ray just played a clip of Governor Cuomo. It was in Karen DeWitt's story about the governor saying, look, the CDC's protocol isn't even in place yet. We're in the middle of this. We had to do something. That's his defense.
Good guy. I like that.
Good guy.
I think he made the right call.
Well, so which call? He made about four calls.
Right.
And they all. And he
about.
Kept,
sorry.
Let's see, where you're, now you're talking.
Stop myself.
No.
Do I need a whistle?
He made about four calls. First he said this, then he said that, then he said this, then he said that. And you know why? Because I believe his finger was up in the wind testing the way the politics were going. And we had a very wonderful letter from Jack this morning, who says, Andrew Cuomo says that he will let the science determine his policy on fracking in New York. How can anybody believe that after his handling of the Ebola issue last week?
Well, we all sat here last week to talk about how Mary Bassett,
yes,
the New York City Health Commissioner.
Can you say that on the radio? Oh, yeah.
Should be in charge. Yes, we did. Should be in charge of this whole thing. Because she has science. She knows what she's doing. You know, she at least seems she knows what she's doing. And I think she does. And so now we're letting the politicians once again make these decisions. I'm sorry, but, you know, the CDC was not the only person to blame here, the only party to blame here in Texas.
No, I blame the hospital,
right,
too.
Right, the hospital. And I watched 60 Minutes. I watched 60 Minutes the other night, and those people really, they did a whole piece about the hospital in Texas and the people who were there, and they were very heartfelt and crying and saying we did our best. And I believe that they did do their best with what they had. But this is pure politics, where this woman didn't have a fever in the long run. When she was retested with a real thermometer, she didn't have a fever. They put her in a tent without any heat. If you have somebody with a fever, you don't put them in a tent without any heat, because that just exacerbates the fever and makes them even sicker. It was just a stupid way of handling this whole thing.
There were also a lot of people who came down on the middle of this that said, okay, we understand the quarantine part. We don't understand why you have to put her in a tent in the parking lot.
Yeah, put her in the hospital. What?
You know, and I think that was part of it. It was just the conditions of which she was.
Why wasn't she put into? Why wasn't she brought over to Bellevue? Why wasn't she put into a hospital?
Well, Michael says why didn't they put her in the Newark Hilton? I think that's obvious why they didn't do that. I mean, if she was going to be contagious, you don't put her in a hotel.
No, But
they had
two big black cars for an 8-hour drive to bring her to Maine. They could have put her in an ambulance and brought her over to Bellevue.
I do regret that they reneged on their policy at the end and gave her the luxury to ride back. That to me seemed politics. But it seemed the best definition of politics is that these two governors are making an effort to protect their cities, their states from what could be a calamitous outbreak. I just can't fault them as much as you want.
Well, let me just say that Julius got on the horn already, and you know he writes a lot. He said, "Rosemary is wrong," is the title of his letter. Rosemary, this nurse was treated like
him to go on.
This nurse was treated like a criminal and housed in third world conditions in the country that claims it has the best health care in the world. What in the world are you talking about?
The woman was in West Africa. She was in the real third world. It just is not the same. And if she's in a tent, I believe that it was temporary as they were trying to figure out what to do. And you can say she didn't have a temperature, but the instruments on which they were basing it showed a temperature. They acted completely the way they ought to have.
Can I just float this?
Okay.
You have a woman who's a nurse with Doctors Without Borders. As far as I'm concerned, right there, sainthood. But,
sure, I agree.
But then, on top of that, don't we trust her experience and knowing a little bit of how to deal with this disease of...
Oh, you mean like the doctor who was also treating patients and came back and went to the bowling alley and in the subway?
And he
yeah,
wasn't...
Yeah, I don't...
He wasn't contagious.
Oh, please. We just don't know that. We just don't know that yet. He broke the protocol. And no, I don't trust doctors to treat themselves. There's a reason they're supposed to go to other doctors when it's them involved.
Dear Roundtable, how is the pro-Christie position different from the vaccine refusers? Both positions are based on emotion, not on reason, faith, and not on science. The science is absolutely clear. The nurse needs to need not have been quarantined. And Ethan says, Dear WMC, I believe that Cuomo's decision to quarantine returning health workers who have treated patients in West Africa is completely political. And I believe that New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is lying about his reasons for the quarantine in his state. He claims that the returning nurse from Maine under mandatory quarantine in New Jersey has a fever. This is not the case. But if it were, shouldn't the governor see that she is admitted to the proper hospital immediately? And then does the next three paragraphs, which I'm not going to read because you'll limit it to two sentences, maybe two paragraphs. That's it.
Libby, especially as far as the vaccination part of that comment.
Well, he makes a very good point. People are making political decisions without real science behind them, and that's what this is all about. And the vaccination issue is where people use junk science, like listening to Jenny McCarthy, who's got a PhD in nothing. And
she's pretty, though.
Well, she is. She's got a PhD in Playboy Bunny.
I'm so glad you said that, because I would be considered sexist if
yes.
I said that.
Well,
no.
She gets attention to that. I don't see any connection between vaccine and Ebola. The science is that if there's a crowd of people and somebody is carrying it and is symptomatic, even though they think they're not, other people catch it. There's nothing in the vaccine. Some Jenny McCarthy thinks her kid has autism because he got a vaccine. That's really ridiculous.
Yeah, but they're saying don't vaccinate at all. So
right.
If you say don't vaccinate at all, and then you are carrying measles and you go into a crowd, everybody else who hasn't been vaccinated is going to get measles, and we see these outbreaks all the time now.
I'm not going to discuss vaccination because we're on the same side as this. It's stupid not to get vaccine. In fact, I would put people who don't vaccinate their kids in jail and keep their kids out of school because it spreads disease.
Yes.
Which is exactly what I'm talking about with Ebola. Why are we taking a chance with it?
Dean agrees with you, Rosemary.
Thank you, Dean.
Dean says, I agree with Rosemary. They were at least trying to protect us.
We have as much chance. We have more of a chance to marry Kim Kardashian as we do to get Ebola.
I saw that on the internet. You are quoting a meme.
It's all about hysteria.
You are quoting a meme.
It's all about hysteria.
I'll take the Ebola.
You're buying into the Ebola hysteria.
All right, let's take a break. And I just
quoting a meme. Don't we all?
I'm just so upset. Rosemary's going to be
gone for a few
days. I
thought my line was better. I said, I'll take the Ebola.
With a side of something.
So, well, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more right after this.
Support comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and now 793 Broadway in Kingston, rhinebeckart.com. Marshall & Sterling Insurance for business, home, auto, bonds, group benefits, and financial planning. For 150 years, our people are your best insurance. Offices in Glenville, Glens Falls, Syracuse, and Rochester, marshallsterling.com. Homebrew Emporium, New Rochelle and North Greenbush, New York, and West Boylston in Boston, Massachusetts, providing beer and winemaking equipment and supplies from beginners to professionals. And SUNY Ulster, offering the Fast Finish Entrepreneurship Certificate to help build skills with business plans, QuickBooks, and more. Online or on campus in as little as 6 months, SUNYUlster.edu/entrepreneur.
Good morning and welcome back. We just have a few minutes before we go over to NPR News and find out the latest on the stories that we're talking about today and that we'll be talking about through the remainder of this hour. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Absolutely. Vox Pop today at 2 o'clock. You'll be talking about Ebola, right?
Right, 2 o'clock.
Yes.
Ebola.
Is that what you were doing?
No, I was trying to recruit Rosemary because she's so provocative to be on it, but she said she had a class.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which comes first?
Yeah. Now, there was an article in the New York Times, article in the New, in the Washington Post, about asking the question, will this hurt a consensus not as, as worried about Governor Cuomo, but wondering if this will hurt Chris Christie in his political chances of being president in 2016. And it seems to me like it's somewhat of a cart before the horse, because we're it's an issue that we don't know how it's going to play out, number one. And number two, it's still very, very early.
I thought he was already knocked out by that whole traffic thing on the bridge.
Nah.
I don't even want to talk about whether he has a chance. It's going to be Jeb Bush.
His son? Yeah, so what Jeb Bush's son says he's going to run, right?
Is that what?
That was over the weekend.
I happen to think that the only candidate they have, and I've been saying this all along, is Jeb Bush.
I thought he was going to come up during the last election.
The other guys are sort of onto the right of the wacko scale.
Yeah, really. They're way too far right.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be an interesting Bush-Clinton conflagration.
two dynasties opposing each other.
That's right. It's like
two dynasties.
Clash of the dynasties.
It's like the French and the English.
It's not much fun when you
guys. It's like the French and the English going to war.
I know, sorry.
In the 1800s.
You want me to be provocative?
No. We're going to take a break. We come back. We have a lot of letters to get to, and then we'll get to a lot of other issues. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll get your letters. Alan will read them, and then we'll move on to other subjects. That's right. And you know, Alan says this all the time, but really, just a sentence or two is great.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
that's tweeting.
Otherwise,
No, they have 9 paragraphs. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, we want to read letters, not manifestos.
Yeah.
Oh, how profound.
We'll be back after this. Well, the one thing that the break allowed us to do was to collate the mail. My goodness, do we have a lot of it. We welcome your letters as well. Roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. In collating the mail, we've put the mail into 3 categories. One, we love Rosemary. Two, we disagree with Rosemary. And 3, we want to talk about something else.
So are we moving? Am I reading?
No, let's go. We have a whole bunch of letters to get to.
Peggy says, please do not use my name. I just did. Thank you.
But you didn't use your last name, so nobody knows.
No, I agree with Rosemary. There are 2 forms of Ebola, Sudan Ebola and Zaire Ebola, one of which is more serious than the other. Thank you for the great program. And Kay says, what? I don't know. I have no idea. She's talking about something else, I think.
All right.
Yeah. And here is something from JR. Good morning, panel. I agree with Rosemary better than 95% of the time. Her views on Ebola quarantine is false in the other 5%. The statements from physicians and infectious disease professionals uniformly contradict her opinion. But that aside, how can anyone support a position based on arbitrarily dismissing all evidence to the contrary? This is a dangerous method of approaching any problem. Okay, and then Saul says, the stats I've seen have the mortality rate of Ebola between 50 and 70%. I'm not a statistician, but I do know the mortality rate for the flu. But I believe when comparing Ebola to the flu, I think one should multiply the frequency of mortality with the total number of infections for each. That potential number may be driving the public health responses. From somebody else, Margaret, who says, Rosemary is off base. On WNC this morning, an editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, doctors, made the point that Ebola is not contagious until the late stages. Even when they first get a fever, blood tests often turn up negative because there's not enough virus to detect, let alone infect. He cited as evidence the family of the man in Dallas. They were exposed to him for several days after the ER sent him home. The New York City doctor is now being demonized unfairly, as is the New Jersey rate. Ebola's rate of transmission is very low compared to the flu. So shall we quarantine all health workers who are exposed to that or drug-resistant tuberculosis? These are arguably more of a threat. Oh, boy. And then, you know, I go down the line here, and then what happens is I look up and
you
then
get
there are 25
more. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. This is from Doreen. from Poughkeepsie. Last year, New York State law required healthcare workers to get a flu shot, it says short, but shot, or wear a face mask during flu season. My mother is in a hospital-associated nursing home in Rhinebeck where the last flu season, some nurses and aides repeatedly violated the state law, often wearing their masks down around their necks, even after being counseled by administration. It doesn't leave me with much confidence that hospitals can control Ebola if they can't enforce current rules to control the flu. Okay, and Don checks in again. Doctors Without Borders have been on the front lines of the Ebola crisis for several years. We should follow their protocols, monitor, do not quarantine. Okay, all right. And then Carlene says, she wants to talk about Monica Lewinsky, but that's for another day. Okay, and Ryan... Ebola comment. Rosemary has been nothing but hysterical since the epidemic broke out. She says she doesn't trust the CDC or the best scientific knowledge we have about the
communicability.
Yeah. Thanks for that reading lesson of the disease. She spouts her opinion and fear rather than listen to science. What she, quote, thinks isn't as valid as our best pool of scientific wisdom. That's from Ryan. Eliminated. Okay. Henry, I agree totally with Rosemary. Some medical personnel treating the disease have shown a shocking lack of common sense. Michael says, dear folks, before this outbreak, Americans' risk of getting Ebola was probably, say, 1 in 2 billion. Now let's just say the risk as in current circumstances, has been multiplied by 100,000. This might seem frightening until one does the mask. The risk is then 1 in 2,000 or 0.002%. It remains a trivial risk no matter how one feels about it emotionally. Best wishes, Michael. Okay. And John says, the political conversation that is sorely missing is what the proper role of government in today's society is. It would be awfully hard to quarantine anyone with your government, quote, drowned in a bathtub. Democratic leaders need to be making this point. Joanne says, when did the Clintons become a dynasty? When I said so. Okay, that was it. Let's see now. Drew says, dear esteemed panel.
I love what that's enough.
You know where we're headed now.
We're done. What we get called. It's symptomatic of the media to gloss over arguments, but I expect more, from this educated panels. The idea that vaccinations can be harmful is because of the pharmaceutical companies are using cheap preservatives in the vaccine, which are harmful, containing heavy metals and chemicals which can be harmful to developing children, albeit the science of pharmaceutical companies refute the idea. This should be the discourse and to undermine and lobby for more healthful alternatives, not witch hunting by obfuscation or overgeneralizations, and that's Drew from Woodstock. Jeremy says, treating healthcare workers to third world quarantine conditions will only ensure that the problem is compounded. Whether to quarantine is necessary or not, I'll leave that to the professionals. But I would say that if it is, the accommodation should be 5-star. It is common knowledge that the virus needs to be fought in Africa, and they desperately need healthcare workers to volunteer to go. If they are mistreated on returning to the U.S., how many healthcare workers will volunteer to go? And what do you think long-term consequences of that will be? 2 question marks. Thank you for your ear. That's Jeremy. I can't hear you. John says, see, thank you for your ear.
And I said, okay, fine. Yeah, okay. Got it.
And
got
John it. Says, thank you. The picture presented by Cuomo teaming up with Christie was nauseating. Politicians supplanting scientists is a ridiculous scenario and was borne out by the way they had to dial back on their, quote, policy afterward. And that's from John, our old friend John. And this is from please get someone who knows about Ebola on the round table. And the thing is messed up. It's not that I don't want to read it.
I can read that top line, though.
Yeah, read the top line.
Until the so-called Ebola crisis is over, you shouldn't have Rosemary Armeo on the air.
Well, we love Rosemary Armeo, and she has a very strong opinion. And while I don't happen to agree with it, I'll fight for the death for her to be here.
That's right.
Goodbye.
That's what freedom of speech is all about.
Goodbye. And by the way, in terms of expertise, let me help you all. We read from the New York Times. We read from the Washington Post. We read from the American Medical Association. And everybody is all over the place on this. So, okay. quiet down, Alan.
Get a grip.
Okay. And so Kenji says, I'm with Libby. If you listen to medical experts, a mere fever does not make you contagious. You only become contagious with subsequent symptoms. When the main, with the main nurse, the surface thermometer made one reading, a subsequent thermometer gave a more accurate reading. Once that was known, she should have been released. Period. End of story. I'm sick and tired of the media and politicians feeding an unfounded public hysteria. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of the flu die of the flu each year with little or no political or media scrutiny. And that's from our friend Ken G.
No, it seems like the flu gets a lot of attention to me. We keep saying, oh, we got to treat the flu the same as Ebola. Flu gets a lot of attention. Every year.
But it does.
Every
but
season.
But people
shots,
don't
free...
get the shots. They think, oh, it's just the flu, and then they die. I mean, not everybody dies, but the flu can be
and I'm sure,
lethal.
I'm sure people will disagree with me on this, but I think we also got into, the flu became a much bigger deal when we had so many vaccine problems.
Yeah, and H1N1, those vaccines didn't, yeah, right.
You know, and they were going back and there was a shortage, and so I think there's heightened awareness to that.
Right. Well, I'm going to get a flu shot because a whole bunch of people died of the flu.
I got one.
It was very dramatic.
And Downton Abbey, yes.
I get one every year.
Get
Everyone
it now.
I've been sick.
Good.
Absolutely.
Now, I think I'm going to get a shingles shot this year, too.
Yeah, I got that.
I had shingles.
It's Did you?
The worst. Horrible. Yeah.
Yes, when
I heard
18,
that from everyone who's had this.
It was
awful.
The absolute worst thing I've ever been through. Even my knee replacement.
So do you want me to read the other 100?
Maybe we should move on. Okay, I don't know. There's a lot. Yeah, we got a lot. I did take a tally, Rosemary, and of people who agreed with you and people who disagreed with you. There were 9 people who agreed with you. And there were 8 people who disagreed with
you. So there you go.
Okay, so if I were Chris Christie, I'd say, oh, God, okay, I have to change my mind.
No, I would say that's pretty even.
Yeah, it is even.
That seems like you're right there.
I don't
know
how you can read that. White, yellow,
well, it wasn't my first choice, but I couldn't find another pen. So
okay.
There you go.
Hey, would you like mine, Joe? Here's my pen. I want you to have it.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Thank you very much.
I want you to have it. No.
I'm not going to give you mine, though, but you can always borrow it.
All right.
Joe said, aren't you sweet? Rosemary's shaking her head back and forth and saying no.
No,
many things. That's sweet. Not a term. I don't
All right,
use.
let's take a break, and we'll do a quick lightning round to get into a lot more
topics.
We're
gonna have to.
Yes, we don't want to say although the mail is really incredible, but
we should stay another hour.
There you go.
Well, again, we're going to be back for the Vox Pop.
Right.
At 2 o'clock. We're not having a guest, only you. You'll be there, folks. So that's the time to let us know what you think, okay?
Okay. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk. We'll do lightning round and we'll talk about all the other topics.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you very much. We'll be back.
Support comes from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, Troy, New York, hosting BOSS, Business Opportunities to Success Summit. More than 50 CEOs, senior executives, and entrepreneurs discussing and providing insight about their business. November 12th, boss518.com for registration. Skidmore College Master's Program, part-time graduate study customized according to individual student objectives. Available at a distance, MALS at skidmore.edu. And the Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local, Native American, and fairly traded work. TheBlueMarble.biz. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. As I promised, we'll have a lightning round, and we got a whole bunch of mail on Ebola. And I think we certainly showed that people are all over, and we presented as many of the different arguments as we can. And as Alan pointed out, we'll have a full 1 hour discussion on Vox Pop. It'll just be you and Alan this afternoon. So give a call
Alan
in
the
at
better.
2 o'clock.
The more you, the better.
I know you'll get a lot of calls, absolutely, and a lot of emails too. All right. So let's go to the lightning round. The U.S. Post Office, what have you done to us? So we read this, where the Postal Service approved 50,000 requests last year from law enforcement agencies to secretly track the mail of ordinary Americans for use in criminal and national investigations. The report says that there is wider tracking of mail in the U.S. and a rare public accounting of its mass surveillance program. The USPS reported that it approved nearly 50,000 requests. And the number of requests contained in a little-noticed 2014 audit of the surveillance program by the Post Office's Inspector General shows that the surveillance program is more extensive than previously disclosed and that oversight protecting Americans from potential abuses is lax. The audit, along with interviews and documents obtained by the New York Times under the Freedom of Information Act, offers one of the first detailed looks at the scope of the program, which has played an important role in the nation's vast surveillance effort since the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
It's horrible. I think the scariest stuff in this story and the findings of the New York Times is that the Post Office hasn't done this effectively. They haven't done it efficiently. They don't really check what the reason is. They don't really check that the request is coming from an authorized source. I'm not saying shut it completely down. I don't think police ought to have their hands cuffed behind their backs. But there are protections, and the Post Office is not applying them. It's a huge knock on the Post Office. I hate this.
Alan, what do you think?
Well, you know, think about this. We've been talking about Ebola all morning. There are those people who are scared and think that any draconian methodology is worth it to protect people. The government makes the same argument here. They're saying, and I'm sure the answer would be the same. You don't want an A-bomb going off in a dirty bomb going off in your city. You don't want this happening. This is the way we do it. We have an extensive program to do that. The problem, of course, is where does it stop? And we do know that Americans are losing their rights. So it's a very tough one. As for me, I just don't like it.
George Orwellian, totally.
Libby.
Well, 50,000 requests in the country of 30 million, 40 million.
Well, 50,000 that we know about.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, you know, now I know where my mail goes when it doesn't get delivered, you know.
Really.
So, but nobody knows. But I mean, how many people are using the mail?
By the way, they don't read the mail. They monitor mail you're getting. They call mail covers. Yeah, who you're getting stuff, who you're communicating.
And honestly, you're sure they don't read the mail?
Yeah, they need a court order for that.
Right, they need a warrant to open up the mail and read it. They're scanning because they scan it anyway because the OCR readers, how the mail is
the
now
OCR.
Optical character readers. Oh. The way the mail is now
well,
handled,
that was impressive.
Thank you. The way the mail is now handled, an OCR reader, and it goes into a little thing, and it goes into the right mail carrier's bag. It's not like it was when my father worked in the post office, and he had to learn the schemes of, you know, okay, Melvern goes to this bag and, you know, Merrick goes to that bag.
Did he read mail?
No, he did not read mail. He worked in the registered mail room, though, which is no longer part of really around. But be that as it may, they're not reading the mail. They're tracking who's sending you mail. And I find, you know, you talk about Ebola and the scariness of that. I find people sending anthrax through the mail to be just as scary,
note,
if not more.
Note, Libby, that I did not say stop the whole thing.
Yes,
there
I
is
it.
A program in place with proper monitors and checks, and the Post Office, according to this audit, has been systematically ignoring that. That's the part I object to.
Okay, and the Post Office, like every other federal program, the CDC and everything else, has its budgets cut. Time and time again, and doesn't have the resources it needs to be able to do its work well. You know, we scream. Our mail is now costing us close to 50 cents for a letter. You know, we shouldn't be having to pay this much for the Postal Service. The Postal Service should be part of the U.S. government. It's now a separate entity.
And of course, Libby, there is a fallout, a fall over here to our internet, because as you know, the government has been criticizing the major purveyors of our internet mm-hmm. services for trying to block them from coming right. in and looking at our
and
emails.
And I'm not saying that people should be surveilled and that everything should be open and we should live in 1984 and everybody's mm-hmm. seeing. But you know, we do need to protect ourselves. And after 9/11. You know, we do need to protect ourselves, and we need to know where the threats are coming from. And so this answers to everybody who thinks that I'm so far to the left that, you know, mm-hmm. I should be, sure. I don't know, in the Pacific Ocean.
All right.
But that's where I
So we've been getting a lot Ding. Of, we've been, I'm sorry, Joe, we've been getting a lot of email, and we did have one serious complaint. Too many emails, too much fumbling by the reader. That's me. The panel is getting boring instead of enlightening. Martha.
Well, we didn't.
Well, but okay. of course, you know, then why are all of those people writing to us and reacting to each other?
So next.
I just do, the other letter that we got is there a second person that said, yes, I indeed did say January.
Oh, this is big stuff, Joe. So yeah. Out to the whipping post.
Yes. I mean, not you know, January.
Don't you just clarify. January.
Don't you tape these? You can go back and
we could.
Yeah, we do. But so, but you assume go. Two people heard it. I probably said it.
But even though
it wasn't written on my paper.
But I would have. It would have.
You would have caught that?
I would have caught it.
All right.
Because I pay attention to those.
Okay.
Things.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about more serious issues. Right. That's right. Let's go back and listen to the tape. So the report out Friday's tragic school shooting in Washington, the student who opened fire with a handgun in his high school cafeteria on Friday morning in Northwest Washington State, killing two, wounding three. Specifically arranged through text messages for the five fellow students, two family members, we should add, to be there together, according to police investigators. That's one part of the story. The other part of the story, which is a little murky and I don't quite understand, I'm sure there's a reason why all the details are not being released right away, but they're listing that of the shooter being a suicide, and then there's some question mm-hmm. as to whether a teacher intervened. They're saying he didn't, and they did take his own life, and there were some questions about that as well. So, but this fact of as this newly emerges about how the planning of it and the people who died were the targets, or were wounded and died, is obviously very troubling.
Well, I think this is one thing Rosemary and I totally agree on.
Yeah.
We got to get the guns off the streets.
Absolutely.
There is no reason for a 15-year-old to have access to a .40 caliber Beretta. I mean, give me a break.
I mean, the gun was purchased illegally, yes. but how did it get into his hands, right. and how was it brought into the school?
Yeah, right. Yeah. How did it, you know, why? Why does anybody need to buy a .40 caliber Beretta? Why does anybody need to buy an AK-47?
Yeah.
What is it? What's the glory here? You know, and why is it that we have become this society that where gun violence is the norm?
Here's one other point I would make. We're talking about NSA reading our emails and the post office reading our letters, which
this.
We say, oh, we have to protect ourselves. Parents need to read their kids' social media. If you read this kid's Facebook postings for the past, well, they've been looking at it for weeks on the media now, something clearly is emerging there that isn't right, and they should have been aware of that.
Yeah, because
suffering
it's
terribly now, I know, but
there's a lot there, although, you know, there's obviously a lot that would come out that wouldn't be to that extent. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean that there's a dramatization that happens in that phase of life that could be looked at. It's hard to read into.
I
think, especially when you're talking about a trial.
Kid, wouldn't you say, hey, I read your Facebook today. What's going on?
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? I mean, my kids put out stuff I don't understand. I'm on the phone right away.
Right. No, I understand that.
Yeah, if somebody
They're
says
grown.
I'm going to kill somebody, I mean, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, it
seems
like
I'm getting over it, but I'm really not. That would make me wonder what's going on in this kid's head, especially if he were 15, when, of course, they all have testosterone poisoning and crazy.
And Rob says we need to focus on teaching and practicing compassion, empathy, and
yes,
human to human communication in our culture.
We're out of time. We will be back tomorrow. And Rosemary, we'll see you next week.
Yes,
thank you
sir.
Very much. Travel safely.
Have fun. I'm headed to Palm Springs, California. Lucky her. Journalism and Women's Symposium.
Oh, boy.
Libby, we'll see you tomorrow. Thank
yep.
you very much.
You're welcome.
And Alan,
no
thank you. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.